It is finished. One of the things that I learned in junior high and high school, that to run a mile, you run four times around the track. And whoever comes in first wins. I got into junior high, four times around the track. It was a mile. I got my freshman year in college, four times around the track, and you won. I finally went back to our Christian college in Pennsylvania, and four times around the track, you were only four-fifths through. But a lot of fellows thought they were finished, and they came racing in on the fourth lap, and of course the crowd cheered him on. They loved him to spend all that energy, and they only to find the rest of them ran right on by, because it took five laps to run a mile on the smaller field there at Geneva College. They didn't know when it was finished. They didn't know when to quit. They didn't know how much more they had to do. A lot of things that you can think of, areas that you remember was finished. Probably some of you children occasionally put together a puzzle and you came them gradually down to the very last piece, you know, this, you get down to the last one, you can't find it, and your sister has been sitting on it so she can put the last piece in. Well, I didn't have a sister, but a brother did that to me occasionally. It is finished. Everybody wants to be the one that finishes, gets it done. What did Jesus mean? It is finished. Well, on the back, it's not hidden. Four things he meant. Four things were finished when Jesus died on Calvary. And if the world misses these, Jesus is just a good example. Number one, his physical sufferings were all finished. When I stood on the battleship Missouri, where the Japanese signed the unconditional surrender, they had a photograph of General Wainwright standing there, a man who was 200 pounds when he went into the Japanese concentration camp, and he was 125 pounds that day. He stood there as what it meant for the physical suffering of all the men who had been in their prisons. It was all finished. It was all finished. There would be no more taking men and torturing them. The agony of the crown of thorns, that hurt. The nails that held his body up there were driven through his hands and through his feet. It was finished. No more hurt. The tiredness, the thirst, the mocking. Probably they tell me that kids are awfully difficult on one another. And kids are the ones that say, nothing good can come out of your high school. Nothing good can come out of your grade school. You're from a little town. They turned to Jesus and said, nothing good could come out of Nazareth. Look at there. There's Joe and Mary's boy. Look what he is. See, they didn't believe in the virgin birth. His physical sufferings of being taunted were finished. Some people long for that day. Well, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus was a tremendous example. Nobody could do anything more than that. But that doesn't finish the puzzle. And only one thing that was finished. His physical suffering was finished. We read that not only was there physical suffering, but his humiliation was finished. Whose humiliation endured in the incarnation. Well, there's a nice big long word. But if you've ever been to a carnival, you don't have much urge to memorize scripture. But you do try to find a place to lose what just came up the wrong way after you rode a ride. Because carnival is where the flesh shows up. Carnivorous means. So when Jesus left the air-conditioned heaven, weightless, going around, came down here to walk, surrounded by a body, and it could only be one place at a time. His humiliation, that's what the Bible calls it, came down. I read this particular story. Of course, it's just a story, but it illustrates what we're talking about. One day, a man went to visit a church. He arrived early. He parked his car and got out. Another car pulled up near him, and the driver told him, I always park there. You took my place. Well, the visitor went inside for Sabbath school and found an empty seat. and sat down. A young lady from the church approached him and stated, "That's my seat. You took my place." The visitor was somewhat distressed by this rude welcome, but said nothing. After the Sabbath school, the visitor went into the church sanctuary and sat down. Another member walked up to him and said, "That's where I always sit. You took my place." The visitor was even more troubled in this treatment, but still said nothing. Later, as the congregation was praying for Christ to dwell among them, the visitor stood, and his appearance began to change. Horrible scars became visible on his hands and on his sandaled feet. Someone from the congregation noticed him and called out, "What happened to you?" The visitor replied, "I took your place." The humiliation, move over the ones who thought he was just Joe and Mary's boy. The visitor replied. Somehow that really doesn't deal with all of the areas of the humiliation endured. The grade school teacher who has to handle the show and tells. The little one who said to our cat fell apart last night, and three of them don't even have their eyes open. Well, you have to put that together into what happened last night at his house. And he looks at the disciples. He watches this kind of humiliation. They've got fussing over who got the best seat in heaven. And he could yell out, "It's finished. No more is this kind of silly stuff going to have to put up and come into my life." And it's true. His humiliation was finished. And at that point, you ask, what's your application? What was finished in your life in these areas? The third is the sacrificial system. And that was our Old Testament scripture this morning. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. I was visiting with my rabbi friend in his temple in Topeka. And I said, "What do you do with that verse there in Mark, where it's torn from top to bottom?" "Oh," he said, "it's not in my Bible." See, he couldn't say if the Bible said so, he wasn't going to fight it. But they just take the Old Testament, of course. And in Mark, what's it saying was finished here? Well, the entire area of sin, that, as you heard the scripture reading from the elder this morning, as the offering begins, singing the Lord began, accompanied by the trumpets and the instruments of David, king of Israel, the whole assembly bowed in worship. That's good worship to God, up till something else, up till Calvary. While the singers sang and the trumpeters played, all this continued until the sacrifice of the burnt offering was completed. For you see, after that, they worshiped again, a little differently. And people look at our worship, which is a little differently. For we say, "Jesus Christ, it was finished. No more this Old Testament habit of bringing your lamb on the altar and killing it with and giving the blood. No longer the bull is brought and killing with blood. No longer all of these things brought. But it is finished. The temple opened up the way. And we're going to find that Jesus Christ, the last one we're going to look at, he's the way through. But it is of interest that in Exodus, how do they get out of Exodus? They got out by the blood. God said, "If I see the blood on the doorpost or on the top of your door, I'll know that you've trusted in the blood of the Lamb." The blood all the way through, and Levi law, ceremonial and moral, all centered around the blood. And God said, "The blood of Jesus is sufficient. You don't need to think up these other bloody sacrifices. It's all finished." And when the offerings were finished, we read, the king and everyone present with him knelt down and worshiped. King Hezekiah and his officials ordered the Levites to praise the Lord with the words of David. So they sang praises with gladness and bowed their heads in worship. Where did all the instruments go? It's the very same passage there in 2 Chronicles 29. It's all finished. No more of this folderol, no more of the big show, no more of the solos, no more of the all the other kind of things that come in the name of worship when they're really often entertainment. Then fourth thing that was finished, the way from man to God was finished. The Bible says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. We come through his body. That's what's finished. Finally, the way. The old sacrifice, that's all done now. That stopped at Calvary when the veil was rent. No more are the pilgrimages to Mecca have any merit at all. No more the saying of Mass as they did around our President Kennedy, who lie there dead. Not just a fine example, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. His death was the way. You young people know what joggers are. There are several of them around. And they had this account here of the jogger who didn't want to jog through downtown, so he jumped on a bus and jogged in place. When a lady yelled out from the back of the bus, "You don't need to jog in here, you're on the bus." Think about it spiritually, folks. Some Christians come along and they say, well, you have to do this and this and this and this and this and this and this. No, no, you're on the bus. And eternally, you've been chosen by a sovereign God. Now, we come to God with all of the obedience that we can muster out of appreciation. Let your light so shine before men that they may see. That's part of our good works. Not so that God may see. He never said he's going to look down. But the neighbors are looking. The other kids are looking. That they may see your good works, and they'll glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Well, four things that Jesus meant when he said, it's all finished. Every sermon of its worth concludes with some kind of response, some kind of application. If it's all finished, what do we have to do? Well, put yourself in the setting of this wonderful woodsman here who in my junior and senior year in high school made quite a bit of furniture that nobody is really interested in, but it's in my house. I made a cedar chest for my mother. And boy, we took the blanks of cedar chest, we glued them together, we planed them, we sanded them, we brought them together, took the lathe and put figures and glued them on the front and had it all done. Boy, we put more levels of whatever varnish or stain or whatever you can imagine. And we took it home carefully and sat it down and said, Mother, this is for you. What if she said, where's the sandpaper? I see some spots I need to work on. I don't think it's quite finished. That's the reaction of a sovereign God when he tells you to stop running, you're on the bus. When you come and say, I'm going to church because God wants me to, instead of God's blessing is there. To take something that's finished, whether it's a Van Gogh painting, and draw a mustache where he doesn't have a mustache on him, situation, it's finished when Van Gogh's finished. The Cedar Chest Project, it's finished, Mother. It's for you. No true servant of God will come to the Lord and say, God, I noticed you didn't quite get this finished, so I'm finishing out my works, my path of good works, so that I'll get one day to heaven. No, no, it's finished. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The way is finished. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And Jesus said, it is finished. and he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. What applications can you write down of these positions today? Our gracious Father, we do count as a privilege and a blessing to be gathered together in your name. And how we rejoice in the clarity of Scripture, in the clarity of the statements even of our Jesus Christ, who from the cross was making known to all that would listen that he had finished the work that God had given him to do. He'd come and lived a perfect life, and then he took that perfect life and he allowed us to claim that perfect life by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. So, Lord, thank you, O God, that we come into a sanctuary that is cleared of clutter, that is reflecting of the Jesus Christ who simply came and said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. In his name we pray. Amen.